All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here looking at the introduction to chapter 5, which gives us the Adamic lineage through Seth, up through Noah and his son Shem, Ham, and Japheth. As we pointed out, the lineage is designed to be appreciated and understood in accordance to the preceding context of the line of Cain in chapter 4, as well as the first 8 verses of chapter 6. There is a natural division, a grammatic natural division, or term generation telodoth is used in verse 1 and then in verse 9. And then it's used many other times as subdivisions throughout the rest of the book of Genesis, which this book is indeed centered on the Adamic lineage in the line of Christ in this respect. And as I spent the first hour pointing out to you by recognizing the author's intent to parallel in a contrasting way the lines of Cain with the lines of Seth, recognizing the additional comments made in regards to Adam and Seth, Enoch, and Lamech and Noah, we are able to come to a fairly certain conclusion of when the angelic infiltration actually began in history. And that would have been about the time of the introduction of Methuselah from his father Enoch, who ascended in regards to his own demise from this planet supernaturally by God, correlating with the fallen angels descending and starting the sexual procreation process in regards to the human female population of the planet. Methuselah, again, Seth, Adam and Seth, or Seth and his son, Enosh, are designed to anchor the parallel between the two lineages in that regard. That's why you have a preface in regards to them ending chapter 4 as a message of hope. Now the full lineage being expressed. So that tie point is designed to make sure we understand there's a parallel that is intended to be seen between these two lineages. With Enoch, then, and Methuselah, that gives us a chronological tie of when the angelic infiltration actually began during the antediluvian period. And it's not late into the antediluvian period, like the last couple, 300 or 400 years. It's more towards the middle or even preceding the middle, maybe some 700, 800 years post-restoration in that regards. And that means, now for the purposes of timing it, we look at Enoch and his ascension and the introduction of Methuselah. He matches the Lamech's kids. That gives us added significance regards to why one female is mentioned in the line of Cain. She is representing not only unbelievers, but the female species, then opening their arms to angelic procreation in that regards, the females. And hence, that line is disrupted in regards to any further genetic recording, lineage recording, because it has become damaged through the angelic infiltration in regards to being truly human in that respect. There's only 7 generations out of Cain, and there's 11 in regards to the line of Seth. So putting these things together gives us insight that we would not otherwise have in regards to when, at least approximately in history, the angelic infiltration actually began. And that means, by all intents and purposes, obviously if it correlates directly with Enoch being removed from the planet, you would add another 300 years or so onto the date in Methuselah's life, etc., before it started. But it's possible Enoch was also an eyewitness if it occurred, pre-900 years, then basically all the descendants of Adam got to eyewitness this angelic infiltration to a certain degree. Because almost all the descendants, apart from Enoch, lived 900 years or older in this regard. So it's just one of those things, little investigating work, putting the pieces of puzzle together. We see a little gem of information that you just won't find on the streets in regards to understanding the Bible otherwise in that respect. And we have all the clues are there. The package fits nicely in regards to the fact that Enoch is known as a prophet of universal judgment otherwise, hence introducing this period of the most evil time, the antediluvian period. We have the language of 6:1 indicating that the time that this occurs when the population begin to explode exponentially. So that eliminates, if you will, early and late parts of the antediluvian period and puts us somewhere in the middle that we are dating it otherwise in this regards. And that just brings us down to point 46. With the influence of demonic penetration, excuse my choice of terms, but it fits, over the remaining 9 centuries, the world en masse became corrupt. So much so, only 8 believers remained at the flood. By the time you get down to the end of history, the world is so negative, en masse, you only got 8 believers left. Methuselah, he dies. He's one of the last of the ancestors of Noah, etc., that dies before the flood. And it leaves Noah, his 3 sons, Noah's wife, and their 3 wives. 8 people. The only believers left on this planet. So you have over a period, close to probably a millennium, at least several centuries, of evil saturating the planet otherwise in that respect as Satan tries to wipe out true humanity through this demonic infiltration. So 47, now while this may seem an extraordinary long time, as one might question it, for God to permit the demonic evil, it does find even external support in principle. 48, this as to a Sumerian flood story, which was reconstructed by Jacobson on the basis of the bilingual version from Ashurbanipal's library, which mentioned 9 kings that reigned before the flood. The mythology of tales passed down through external sources. 49, these kings supposedly reigned some 64,000 years. They were super kings. See, well, that's a long time. So 50, while the Sumerian king list is some 40 times longer than the biblical record of the same period. The exaggeration, as it is, obviously, finds traction over the span of several centuries of reality from which to draw. The angelic infiltration lasting over several centuries would add traction, give meat in regards to the story in, under oral tradition, and then finally written tradition be passed down. You know, this is a long time that this occurred, which to us, you know, 900 years or so is a long time. But not to them. Imagine waking up and 50 years old and you go, oh, I've got another 900 years to go before I die. Everybody go, oh, yeah. But you're living in a period like this. The ramifications of all this is fairly astounding. I mean, you can imagine how isolated the believers, polyvolition was during this antediluvian period, really compared to the rest of the earth. You know, we feel isolated in our own right. Nothing new under the sun. So 51, now that brings us down to the final tie point. Now, there's 3 tie points from 3 exceptional aspects of narrative that are added to the lineage through Seth, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech. So the final tie point is with Lamech fathering Noah. Now this tie, point 52, is found in the matching names, which I've already mentioned. the two men, both in the line of Cain and Seth, fathering then the final generations. Is it a coincidence that the father of the final generations is named Lamech on both sides of the coin? We don't believe in luck. There's irony, but there's also insight provided for it. So that is, both men fathering the final generations are named Lamech. So that's where the tie point is in that regard. So 53, with the line of Cain, that generation ended. Lamech with his sons and daughter off his two wives. With the line of Seth, then another generation was produced that would survive the flood. That's through Shem, Ham, and Japheth off of Noah, Lamech's son. And obviously, the spiritual symbolism in regards to these things looks at life going on for positive volition and judgment, otherwise, and death for negative volition, as I brought out earlier in our notes in that respect. So 54, now this is the point that I've tried to outline it for you here. I'll give you a little kind of a name graph so that you can see how all this matches up. The parallels and tie points between the two lines in regards to the Cainite line, Genesis 4:1, and then 17 through 22, you have Adam. And Adam on both sides of the coin, obviously, he is the corporate parent in Genesis 5:1 through 32. And then you have Cain on the line of unbelief, representing the seed of the serpent. He lines up with Seth. Those two tie points establish the parallel generations. That's how the author wants us to look at this. Obviously, the time is different. Cain was an adult, and he kills Abel, and then Seth is born after the fact. But this is the way we're to look at this in regards to comparative purposes that are to be brought out. So 3, then you have Enoch and Enosh. 4, Irad in the line of Cain with Kenan in the line of Seth. 5, Mahujael with Mahalalel. 6, Methushael then lines up with Jared, who is the father of Enoch, that lines up with the seventh generation of Lamech on the line of Cain. So with Lamech, you have two ties here that are going on. One is chronological, and that is that with Enoch, it represents ushering in the final period, the antediluvian period. Then with their generation, with the line of Cain and 8, you have his children, Jabal, Jabul, Tubal, Cain, and Naamah, and that's from two wives. So essentially, you have a split generation occurring from Lamech in that regard. These are just interesting things to see here, what's going on. That lines up with the generation in regards to Methuselah, and that is where the angelic infiltration begins, if you will. And then you have the name tie of the two Lamechs, which I show you with the arrow there, circling around, which Lamech in the line of Seth ushers in the final two generations. Is it the irony of the two split generations from Lamech ending early? But there's two generations that come from Lamech on the line of Seth also. And that is 10, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, with Noah being one generation and his sons the following generation, all going into post-flood history, being delivered from God destroying the planet. So 55, the genealogy from Adam via Cain culminates in the depravity of Lamech, remembering back in chapter 4. 56, this introduces a generation of negative unbelievers open to demonic subversion. 57, this opens the doors for the first major satanic offensive on the, quote, seed of the woman, end quote. 58, the line from Adam via Seth is a line of spiritual achievement and advancement. 59, this line is blessed and protected so as to form an unbroken chain of male descendants culminating to Messiah. And one of the things we'll pick up on as we go through here, the firstborn of all the patriarchs listed here in our genealogical list in chapter 5 are all male. And then 60, chapter 5 also serves to link the first founder of humanity, Adam, then with this refounder, post-flood, with Noah. So hopefully a little added edification for us, a little insight, additional insight, often missed because people are generally superficial in many cases in studying the Scriptures. All right, now we begin the exegesis of the verses. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, we have a preface to the genealogy. Short introduction in and of itself, if you will. All right, looking at the language here, the Hebrew, this is the book of the generations of Adam. You have the adjective masculine singular, Zeh, Z-E-H, this, then our noun for book, a common masculine singular construct, Sefer, S-E-P-H-E-R, Sefer, the book of, or writing of. That word is used 185 times in the Old Testament, but only here in the book of Genesis, as I pointed out. Of the generations of Adam, you have the common feminine plural constructive, or now for generations, Tolodoth, Tolodoth, T-O-L-E-D-O-T-H. Generations, descendants of, follow with the proper noun, Adam. Adam, which can be translated either man or Adam. In the day when God created man, preposition bait, N-B-E-T, the day of is a common masculine singular construct of our noun yom, Y-O-M, followed with the verb cal infinitive construct, translated created, bara, or create, creation verb bara, B-A-R-A, to be created ex nihilo, out of nothing, is what this word emphasizes, is the original creation in 1:1, also saw in verse 21 and 27, chapter 2, 3, and 4. In the day of creating, literally, God, comma, man. You have their comma, masculine, plural, absolute, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, God, followed with our noun, masculine singular again, a common, Adam, Adam. They translated Adam first sentence, they translated man the second sentence. Make up your mind. Well, quite honestly, it can go both ways. We'll show you. Then finishing, he made him in the likeness of God. Again, you have the preposition bait. In the likeness of, it literally, follow with the noun, common feminine singular construct. Our word for likeness here, demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H. The same word used in the planning stage in regards to God creating man. Let us make man in our image, in chapter 1, verse 26. According to our likeness. Likeness, demuth. The likeness of God, Elohim, he made him. Now we have the second creation or manufacturing verb, cal, perfect, third masculine singular, asah, A-S-A-H, to make out of something, manufacture out of something is the force of this verb. So you have the created ex nihilo and manufactured out of something used in the verse. In verse 2, he created them male and female. In the Hebrew, you have first the noun, common masculine singular absolute, term for male, zakar, Z-A-K-A-R, plus the vowel conjunction. Then our noun, common feminine singular absolute, for female, nekabah, N-E-Q-E-B-A-H, nekabah. I usually pronounce better when I look at the actual Hebrew rather than the transliteration, but anyway. Interesting to note, the meaning of this word female means literally to pierce or bore. So you're mature enough to figure that out. You can see the colorful aspect of the Hebrew language. He created them literally, cal, perfect, third masculine singular with the third masculine singular suffix. Now our verb bara repeated, B-A-R-A. And he blessed them and named them man. Vowel consecutive plus the PL, imperfect, third masculine singular, our verb to bless, barak, B-R-B-A-R-A-K, the name Baraka from the church in Houston, it's what it comes from, blessed. And he blessed them, he had to sign a direct object with the third masculine plural suffix, eth. This is attached to the sign of the direct object in the Hebrew, E-T-H, them, in the plural, and named them man, vowel consecutive. He had the cal, imperfect, third masculine singular of the verb kara, Q-A-R-A. He called, called out, if you will, plus the sign of the direct object with the noun, common masculine singular, construct with the third masculine plural suffix, shem, their name, called out their name, literally in the Hebrew, shem, S-H-E-M, man, again, our